It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
That's right, back for another week, Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Everything AFL in the Sunshine State, and we've got two opposite ends of the spectrum at the moment. The Lions still travelling very nicely, got the job done down in Tassie over the weekend, albeit a bit of a scare. The Suns, on the other hand, well, there's a bit of work to do as I welcome my co-host Jack Fulham and Will Ralston. Fellas, starting with the Lions down at Blundstone Arena on the weekend, first time ever down there. Dane Zorko spoke on Triple M yesterday saying that he had a bit of a heart attack at halftime. And Will, I can imagine you were in the same camp there.
Yeah, it was one of those funny games where you just know you're a better team and you just know that things aren't going well. But you can tell we had a gear, and we just went into that year eventually. And it was a very, I think Lachie Neale's performance kind of mirrored the way the team went. And he has a tendency to do this every now and then, Lachie Neale, where he can have a really quiet first quarter or first half. I think he did it in the final over the last couple of years, where he might have had one or two touches at quarter time, and then just exploded. It was nice. In a way, it was really nice to just see Brownlow medal, Lachie Neale return to form. Yeah, and we just had enough tricks. I think Lincoln McCarthy was vital in the end. He kicked two goals that came at really important times just to arrest the momentum and then kick us away into a healthy lead. And once we got four goals clear towards the end, it never felt dangerous. So, yeah, I think as far as disappointing four-goal wins over, you know, a cellar dweller go, I'm not too disappointed with it. First time we've ever played in Hobart. Tough conditions, off the back of a bye, came off a loss. You know, I'm happy to take that one.
Now, talking about playing in Hobart and tough conditions, thing I was so proud of the Lions for, and it's an amazing show of strength considering they're a team that's based in sunny Queensland. Not one player walked out onto that field with long sleeves on.
Oh, good pickup.
And good call.
And you know what? That is the mental toughness and fortitude you need to be a premiership team.
Yep.
I like it.
So, Lions flag confirmed.
Okay, there we go. Well, I was going to say
that's the old Clarko thing. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe Fagan got that.
Brought that in.
I just don't think that after the likes of Darryl White, no one can pull off the long sleeves the way he could. So I think that's where they just drew the line at that point there.
Oh, Jared Brennan.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
He had a go.
He had a go, but just not as a successful error. Hey, guys, moving to, of course, this Thursday night. Now, this is, that was the entree against the Kangaroos. This is the main event now. Geelong, Brisbane at the Gabba, Thursday night footy, prime time. The place will be hostile. It'll be going off. And, well, this is where the Lions really need to stand up, fellas. This is essentially an eight-point game, sitting fourth, the Lions, on the table right now. If they drop this, Port can leapfrog them into the top four, and this could have longer-serving ramifications. But the record hasn't been amazing against the Cats.
It hasn't. But if the Lions need any motivation to, you know, put in a performance against the Cats, then, you know, what are they doing? Because you've got last year's preliminary final, which was an absolute belting.
It still burns, doesn't it, Will?
It should burn. And then you've got the absolute robbery that happened down in Geelong in round two, where probably one of the worst umpiring decisions in recent memory. It's not hard to hate the Cats.
The one threat, though, I will say, Will, is just having a look at Geelong's forward line and how they're really starting to fire now. Yep. They run very well. So Hawkins, Cameron and Gary Rowan, of course, kicking the sealer last week against the Dogs. Without the likes of Gardner down there, how do you set up your back line to take on those three tall targets?
Yeah, it's a very bad week to not have Gardner, is it?
It is. And Lester,
of course. You forget about the impact of Lester structurally. Yeah, I'm not sure. What do you guys think? Is it time for a Ballander or a Payne to start to get involved? Because I don't know, between who we currently have down there, I don't know if we're quite tall enough.
Well, you'd say Marcus Adams would go to maybe Hawkins.
I think the body on body, because Harris Andrews just continues to struggle against that build of player. So.
And Tom Hawkins has got a hold of Harris Andrews. That game in round two, I don't think Tomahawk kicked a big bag, but there was three or four occasions where he manhandled Harris.
Yep. Hawkins is the biggest threat when there's a boundary throw in inside 50. That's when we really have to worry about him.
Yeah, I'd bring a Connor Ballenden. He's been in really good form in the twos, in to take one of those key, you know, defensive posts, just to allow Harris to keep playing that same intercept game.
Yep.
Because if you get Harris bogged down on Hawkins and that becomes a one-on-one battle, we love Harris, but that is the limitations in his game, is that he cannot go with these muscle men down forward.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout. I'm happy to leave it in the competent hands of the Brisbane Lions football department. It's nice just not having to worry about it, because you just know that we'll find the right combination. I like Adam's form personally. Some people have their question marks, but I think he's been good.
Well, at least we've got some security around the direction of the Lions Football Club as we head down the M1 now to the Gold Coast Suns. It's looking a little bit shakier, to put it in the most positive terms. A 50-point loss on the weekend against the Power in glorious sunshine at Metricon. Jack, look, you were there. Work rate was poor. Targets were missed. And that horrific post-buy record now goes to 3 wins and 40 losses in the past few seasons. What was your takeaway from that performance on Saturday? Not to take anything away from Port were great, but the Suns were a class below.
I honestly feel like I'm watching Groundhog Day again from 2018 and 2019, where the Suns came into games and from within 10 minutes of the game, you just knew they were going to get belted. And that's what it feels like again. So 10 minutes, like they kicked the first goal of the game through Ben King.
Yep.
After that, they just looked a shell of a football side. The body language for a long time in that contest was just horrific. You know, blokes walking, hands on hips, heads down. And that was from early in the first quarter. And you just, there must be something that is going on at this football club beneath the surface that is producing these kind of performances. Because they, and 50 points, you look at it and go, oh, 50 points, yeah, it's a bad loss. But it probably should have been a lot more. Like Port had taken their foot off the pedal from about halfway through the third, and it was... You drive back up the M1 feeling a bit sad, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the same thing, isn't it? It just feels like whenever you see improvement out of them, it's another step back almost straight away. And it's disappointing to see in the footy media all this week. I saw on Classified last night that they were bringing up failed franchises from other sports on the Gold Coast, and that conversation starting to happen. And the logos of Gold Coast United and...
The Blaze.
The Seagulls, yeah. The Crushers. Yeah, we've spoken about the Bermuda Road Triangle that exists between that sort of cursed piece of land around Narang. But yeah,
doesn't also help with the Titans getting touched up in the NRL.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
And the Titans coming into their season full of hope and being a basket case too. Cool. So
we do get another special podcast on the true crime of the Bermuda Road Triangle. But Jack. Gold Coast, it's one thing when the media sort of pile on, but when the club chairman himself goes after his players, it's a bit troubling. And you picked this up the other day.
Well, some wonderful audio from Fox Footy and Tony Cochran. God love him, chairman of the Suns, wears his heart on his sleeve, and
it's usually a paisley, a cuff sleeve. Like he's a well dressed man,
very colourful, Tony. But he had this to say to the On The Couch team on Fox Footy on Monday night, and have a listen.
How were you feeling at this particular moment?
If I was allowed to say shit house on TV, I'd say I was feeling completely and utterly shit house.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to say that.
Not allowed to say that, Tony, but no bloke does, you know, sort of more to pump up the tyres of the Suns, yeah, especially in the local area too. And they're just really despondent at the moment.
I'm going to put it to both of you. One thing you would change by the end of the season, let's say we want the Suns to finally do what we need them to do, and that's play finals. That's any club is based on that metric. So for the Suns to play finals next year, one thing the both of you would change, on field, off field, what would you do?
Okay, it's probably not going to help them play finals, but they need a rebrand.
Oh, okay, bang, all right.
Okay.
Okay, be huge. Is the Suns not working for you?
No 10-year-old playing, you know, the AFL game on the Xbox looks at the Gold Coast Suns logo and their, you know, it's a smart strip, but no kid is going, yeah, I'm going to go for the Suns. They're fearsome.
Yeah, the Phoenix Suns are up and about.
Give me some melanoma.
Okay.
No, they need a rebrand. They need a more sinister looking Guernsey. They need something that, like, maybe call themselves the Sharks or the Stingrays or something like that. Something that is just has a bit of an edge to it.
So Wussy Monica is what I'm getting out
of
here.
They need a rebrand.
Okay, rebrand, done.
It's a piss weak jumper. It's a piss weak Monica. And the mascot even, I'm going to throw Sonny Ray under the bus here. Piss weak mascot.
You can't go up to Sonny Ray. So, right, as I said, how I wanted us to be here in the good times. So these are the hard conversations we have to have. Will, of course, you fly the flag down in Victoria and you see, you know, most of the heat that comes up, and especially given that there's talk of a Tassie team and maybe that conversation has started again, that the Suns get moved to Tasmania, ironically. Will, what would you do?
Well, you're killing off Sonny Ray. I'm going to do the next worst thing, and I'm going to kill off Stewie Jew.
Yep.
Unfortunately. There's four seasons, and as you said, it's Groundhog Day. There's just no structural, cultural, obvious change that we can see. And I really rate Stewie Jew, and I think if given a club, you know, that maybe was a bit more established, I just don't think it's his gig. And I think they need a big fish. They need to completely reinvent the joint, as the Lions managed to do in 2017-18. And whether it's Clarko, you know, they thought they were doing it with Rodney Ead, it ended up being the worst thing they could have done. But I just think they need something of that ilk, someone to come in who is immediately respected and doesn't have to earn the respect of the footy world. So that's the best case scenario, but it's a tough gig, it's a tough sell.
Well, ironically, they will be down in Tasmania this weekend when they take on the Roos at Blundstone Arena early game Saturday. Now, we've seen the blueprint for how the Roos are functioning down there. And as we said last week, they're starting to learn how to play that ground. And they've built something where they can actually contend down in Tassie. The Suns got the job last time these two teams met in March. But this now, we know how important this game is. The Suns haven't been able to come back. That's the one thing they've been able to do this season. They have a terrible loss, and then they bounce back. You saw them, I think it was earlier, they lost to the Dogs in that terrible blowout, and then they came back and beat the Suns.
Well, like 11 goals down at halftime.
And then they came back, beat the Swans the next week. Blew their chance against Geelong, and then they thumped the Hawks. So if there's one thing we know about this mob, is that they can bounce back from a really bad loss. And I think the Cochrane sort of audio will light the fire here.
Am I going a little bit too early on this to say that this game is right or die for Stewie Jew?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Not that he'll get sacked immediately, but, you know, they need to start. They're better than North Melbourne, and they need to start selling it.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, fellas, thanks again. Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.